Nice to see everybody. I think it's safe to say that Rosh Hashanah is obviously a very serious day. We have the notion of Emas Hadin. We're standing in judgment for the rest of the year. But yet, along with that Emas Hadin, we know that that Rosh Hashanah is a chag. It's a yontif. There is simcha that pervades the day. And therefore, it is also a happy day. It's full of simcha. So it's this dichotomy of Gilu Bira'ada. I think we spoke about this last year when we spoke about Lamanat Seach. It's this Gilu Bira'ada. It's being happy and understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our king. We are coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, as we say in Lamanat Seach, Zamru L'Malkeinu Zamera, we're happy, we're singing, we're in utter joy as we realize the fact that Hashem is our king. And at the same time, we have this Emas Hadin. It's always this tension between the two. What I'd like to do is look at the laning of Rosh Hashanah and try to see where we see this Gilu Bira'ada, this idea of Simcha, at the same time, Yira and Simcha, what that's all about. And at the same time, try to see if we can follow some of the themes relating to Rosh Hashanah, aside from the Gilu Bira'ada, other themes that jump out at us as we read the laning of, as we go through the laning of Rosh Hashanah. So we read from Parshas Vayera on both days of Rosh Hashanah. The first day we read of the birth of Yitzchak, V'Hashem Pakad Esara. With that reading, we also learn of the first male in history, Yitzchak Avinu, to have a bris milah at 8 days old. We learn of Yishmael's banishment, and we then learn of Hashem saving Yishmael, and then Avraham Avinu's bris with Avimelech. On the second day, we read of the Akedah. The connection between the Torah reading of day two of the Akedah is obviously that the shofar of the Ayil recalls the Mesiras Nefesh that Avraham Avinu had at the Akedah. The connection between Rosh Hashanah and the laning of the first day, V'Hashem Pakad Esara, says the Gemara, is that on Rosh Hashanah, Yitzchak Avinu was conceived. However, let's ask the question, if there are any other deeper connections, are there themes, are there lessons, are there hashkafos that we can extract from these accounts in Parshas Vayera that perhaps help us focus on some of the avoda of the day of Rosh Hashanah. And let's take a look and see also, can we perhaps extract some of those categories of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros that we will be davening on Musaf, during Musaf on Rosh Hashanah? Can we superimpose those categories on the story in that we see in Parshas Vayera about the birth of Yitzchak? Malchios, we know, it revolves around coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king. That really is the overall theme of Rosh Hashanah. We don't talk about our chataim necessarily. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king, and from that, everything else flows. So that's Malchios. We are Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Aleinu is featured very prominently in Malchios, right? We say in the future, everybody will recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is king. Zichronos refers to the fact that Hashem sits in judgment on every single aspect of creation, not just Klal Yisrael. It's a global day for all of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, quote unquote, Hashem attends to every aspect of creation. And Shofros refers to is the theme of the Giloy Shechina, Atani Glesa, that this is the Giloy Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically on the nation of Klal Yisrael. So let's begin with the first pasuk of the Torah reading for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. V'Hashem Pakad Esara. Hashem attended. I'm using the word attend because Ein Shikcha Lufnei Chiseich Vodech. Hashem doesn't remember. Right? So Pokad V'Hashem Pakad is that Hashem attended to Sarah. So obviously this is a pasuk that we reference in Zichronos. When we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis on Klal Yisrael, his attention to the details of every individual, we say V'Hashem Pakad Esara. This is the beginning of Am Yisrael, when Hashem remembered, quote unquote, when Hashem attended to Sarah. And what occurs here, of course, is that Yitzchak is born. He is called Yitzchak because Hashem told Avraham to call him Yitzchak. He has a bris, the first one, we said, to ever have a bris at 8 days old. And then Sarah confirms or reaffirms the name of Yitzchak and says, "Tzachok asali Elokim kol hashomei yitzchak li." Everybody that hears about the birth of Yitzchak, they will laugh with me. And if you look, skip to, turn over the page to source number 5, kol hashomei yitzchak li, she said, Rashi says, Yismach alai, they're going to be happy with me. A medrash about me, about my news. A medrash agada harbe akaros nifkadu ima. Many akaros were remembered, were attended to on that day, and they had nisim harbe cholim nisrapubo bayom. Many ill people were healed. Harbe tfilos ne'enu ima. The rav schok hayav olam, and there was much laughter in the world. Lots of tzchok. Right? Lots of laughter, lots of happiness, whatever tzchok means. Then we see that Sarah banishes Hagar. Why? Why does Hashem banish Hagar? Vayomer, Vaterasar has ben Hagar hamitris asha yodola Avraham mitzachik. Why was Hagar banished? I'm sorry, why was Hagar and Yishmael banished? Because Yishmael was mitzachek, was making light, was making a mockery of their ideals in the home, and therefore he had to be banished. Because of his involvement in tzachok, he was banished. So here we have this dichotomy. Yitzchak is related to tzachok, he's Yitzchak, and he is the progenitor of Am Yisrael. And here we have Yishmael, who is also associated with a different kind of tzachok, mitzachek, and he is banished. What's going on here? So let's go back to the very beginning. And if you have on your sources, I have all the way back from Parshas Lech Lecha. So let's review. When Avraham was first told that he was going to have a child, he was first given the mitzvah of Mila. Hashem told him, do a bris milah. And afterwards, Hashem tells him that he's going to have a child. And then in Pasuk Yud Zayin, which is bolded for you, Vayipol Avram al panav vayitzchak. Avraham fell on his face and he laughed in joy. Vayomer, look, I'm skipping to your test. Vayomer, lokim aval sara ishtacha yoledes lecha ben v'karasa es shemo Yitzchak. You're going to have a child and his name will be called Yitzchak. So we see that Hashem named Yitzchak. Hashem gave a directive to Avraham that Yitzchak's name, that his son should be called Yitzchak. Then later on, he has a bris milah. The malachim come to pay a visit to Avraham Avinu. And there again, Avraham Avinu is told about the imminent birth of his son in a year's time. And Sarah was listening. V'Avraham Pasuk Yud Aleph in the second section. V'Avraham v'Sarah zekeinim ba'im bayamim chadal hios l'Sarah orach kanashim. They were elderly. Sarah physically couldn't have any children according to Derech HaTeva. V'Titzchak Sarah b'kirba le'mor. Now, I think I missed, there's probably a piece of this that is missing. She heard that the Pasuk says, I think they're messed up with some of this. She was listening from behind the tent. Okay, v'hi shamas pesach ha'ohel, if somehow that got cut off. She was listening from behind the tent. She heard this conversation. And v'titzchak sarah b'kirba le'mar, and she laughed. She laughed inside of herself saying, is it possible that I can have children? And then we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu approaching Avraham. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lama zetzachaka sara lemar ha'af amnam eleid va'ani zakanti. Hashem approaches Avram and says, why did your wife laugh? What's going on here? Hayipalei me Hashem davar? Is it impossible for Hashem? Is there anything that's not possible for God? And then the most surprising pasuk is, v'tichachesh sara lemar lo tzachakti. Sarah denied it. She said, I didn't laugh. Because she was afraid. Vayomer lo kitzachakt. And he said, no, you did laugh. And then we have later on, Hashem pakad es Sarah. And then Sarah, then Yitzchak is named by Avraham, Yitzchak. And then Sarah reaffirms that name and says, kol hashomea Yitzchak Yitzchak li. Anybody that hears it is going to laugh with me. Tzachok asa li Elokim. Hashem has done this joyful act with me. And then we have that Hagar banishes Yishmael. So there's a lot of tzachok going on here. There's a lot of tzachok, and there's the question of what is Sarah doing criticizing Yishmael for his being mitzachek? Obviously, the Torah is using the same lashon here that Sarah used, referred, that the Torah used referring to Sarah's reaction to her having a child. There's a lot. There are a lot of questions. First of all, the first obvious question is, Avraham and Sarah seem to have done the same thing. They both laughed. Is that correct? They both laughed. Avraham laughed and Sarah laughed. And yet Hashem chastises Sarah for her laughter. And the second question is, why does Hashem go to Avraham and tell him about Sarah's laughter? Why not go directly to Sarah herself? So Avraham falls on his face and laughs, and Sarah laughs bikirba, and yet only Sarah is taken to task. So let's turn to Rashi for a moment. On source number 3 on the other side of your page, Vayipol Avram al-panava Yitzchak. Avraham fell on his face and he laughed. What types of laughter are we talking about? There's a dichotomy here. There are two types of laughter here. Zetir gem unkelas v'chadi. Unkelas. Rashi brings down the unkelas, that the type of laughter. Do you need a sheet? I have. You have? I have more. The type of laughter that, yes, I have. The type, here, I'm going to leave it. The type of laughter that Avraham Avinu did was a laughter of joy, like chedva, of joy. But the laughter that, this is Rashi speaking, Lashon Simcha, Vishal Sarah Lashon Mechoch, Lamadata Sha Avraham Ha'emin Visameach. Avraham believed, and that belief led him to laughter. Visara lo he'emina, and Sarah did not believe. And she mocked it. There was some sort of, and we're going to say, obviously it's like a shemetz of a mocking, because we're talking about Sarah Imeno, but deep down in her subconscious, there was something that was missing in her amuna. V'zeo shekpida kadosh baruch hu al Sarah v'lo hikpid al Avraham. And therefore, Hashem was makbid, Hashem had a padis, right? Hashem had tainis to Sarah and not to Avraham, because there was something lacking in her laughter. Very, very difficult to understand. Did Sarah have a suffix that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could perform a miracle? We're talking about Sarah Imeno. I mean, it's very difficult to wrap our heads around it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and Drash Moshe explains the following. He says, recall when and how was Avraham Avinu informed of the news that he's going to have a child? From whom? From Hashem. How was Sarah informed that she was going to have a child? From the Malachim, who she happened to have heard, who she didn't even know was a Malach. She thought it was a stranger that came in off the street and is giving her a bracha, is giving her husband a bracha. And says Rav Moshe, she didn't realize that it was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore she laughed. Is it possible? How could it possibly be? She thought it was, quote unquote, just a bracha. Had she heard it straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps her reaction would have been different. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham and says, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lama zeh satacha? Why is she laughing? Hayipalei me Hashem davar? So before we get to the full answer from Rav Moshe, we just as a little bit of a digression, which will answer our question of why Hashem comes to Avraham and not to Sarah directly, is this idea that Ravoba points out is that when something is amiss in a home, or we can extend it to an organization, to a school, to an institution, where do we go? We go to the top. The buck stops at the top. Or we can say alternatively, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh, right? In a global sense, if there's something going on within Klal Yisrael, it means that every single person, there's something missing from everybody. That's the whole idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. That's why when Achan sinned with taking the Cherem, all of Klal Yisrael, because there's something going on within each and every one of us. So Kal V'chomer, we're talking about a household, says Rav Volba. We're talking about a household. And there's something lacking in Sarah Imenu's attitude. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to Avraham Avinu because if there's something lacking in an attitude within a household, within a home, within an organization, it means that everybody needs to take responsibility. This is a tremendous, tremendous practical applications, of course, because we know that, God forbid, if there's anything going on in a school or if the class is acting up, where do you go to? You go to the teacher. If there's something going on globally in an organization, who gets blamed? The boss, right? Because it trickles down. So this is the first lesson. that Rav Volba teaches us. But to get back to the original question, to the bigger looming question of number one, how could Sarah have had this doubt? And number two, how could Sarah have denied it? What Rav Moshe says is that even though he tries to explain what is the indictment of Sarah Imeno, even if she didn't know that this was a malach, or there's also a question, this nekuda is discussed by Chazal, whether or not Avram Avinu even told Sarah about this news, right? So it could be that this is really the first time she's ever hearing its debate. Did she know about it? Did she not? But even if she did not know that this was a malach, deep down, she did not have the proper emuna, says Rav Moshe, because even if it was just a bracha, she should have said, Kein Yehi Ratzon. What he says is, either way, Avraham's laughter was of a positive nature, and Sarah's laughter was one of disbelief, and it had a pagam. The same laughter, the same lashon is used and associated with both Avraham and Sarah. His son, Avraham's son, will be called Yitzchak. Why? Because Yitzchak, it represents that, really, what is laughter? Rav Hirsch explains, what is the psychology of laughter? The psychology of laughter is that we laugh when something unexpected occurs, when we see opposites, when something is incongruous. He says it's like a rejection of something. It's a rejection like it can't be, right? We laugh when something unexpected occurs. So, for example, if a child is wearing adult clothing, right? That's, or we hear something odd, we laugh, says Rav Hirsch. Something that strikes us as ridiculous. When opposites are exposed. So therefore, why is Avraham laughing? What's the rejection there? What's the denial there? What's the opposite that's staring Avraham in the face? Avraham saw that the impossible could happen. What his joy came from his denial or rejection of what everybody thinks is supposed to happen, which is teva. That's what his laughter was. His laughter was, we have the last laugh because teva does not apply if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides it doesn't apply. If God wants to suspend the laws of nature, then we can laugh at nature. That's Avraham Avinu's laughter. He had no doubt whatsoever. A tzechok is a denial of something. So he's denial the fixing and the rigidity of teva when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to lift teva, to suspend the laws of nature. His tzechok was a denial, but it was a denial of the natural world. It was a denial of things that life has to always go according to teva. It was really a freedom from the natural world. Sarah Imenu, on the other hand, Sarah rejected on the tiny, tiny level, on her level as a Sarah Imenu, she rejected the notion of Hakol Yachol. Even if it was a bracha, says Rav Moshe, for someone other than, for if it was a bracha, and she didn't know it was coming from a malach or a navi, says Rav Moshe, she should have said, Amen, Kein Yehi Ratzon. That's what's expected of Sarah Imenu. That doesn't take away the fact that we all have to do hishtadlus. But laughter really can come from joy at the unexpected, or it can come from scoffing. And the idea is that the nation of Am Yisrael began with a tzechok. It began with laughter, the laughter of Avraham Avinu that we laugh at Teva, lemala min ha-Teva, al shem ha-tzchok, denying attachment to the natural world, that we can rise above our physical limitations. Isn't that what Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? At the Bris Bein Absarim, Hashem tells Avraham, Vayotze oso hachutza. He took him outside. What does Rashi say there? What does it mean? Vayotze oso hachutza? Anybody, what does Rashi say? Say me it's tagninus shalcha. Get out of your dimension. Ko yezaracha. What you are and your nation will begin on a completely different dimension. Ko yezaracha, you will be lemala min hateva. Yeah. Bekirba.
Bekirba.
Yeah.
That she kept it within. So I'm just wondering that whether on the outside, in general, when she faced people, or she heard this focusing Simcha as Avraham did, but down deep.
Okay, so you're getting to something, and we're going to get to that. So you are being miskaven to the Or Gedalia, Rav Gedalia Shor, and we're going to get to that. Yeah. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. I know. Okay. So Avraham Avinu's tzchok came from this rejection of the last laugh is on us, because Hashem can do anything, hakol yachol, hayipole me Hashem davar. I know that there is nothing beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beyond the Kodesh Baruch Hu's control. There's a story that was told by Rav Azriel Chaim Goldfein, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Johannesburg. He was Nifter in 2007. And he had told over a story that he had heard directly from Rav Mordechai Gifter. The story takes place immediately after World War II. Rav Gifter apparently was in New York City. And obviously, he was the Rosh Hashiva of Tells, and he was with Rav Elia Meir Bluch in a bookstore in New York after World War II. And they go into a bookstore, and they a Jewish bookstore, a Sfarim store, and they ask the bookkeeper, they would like a copy of the Ketzos HaChoshen, which is a classic commentary on Gemara. The storekeeper climbs up into his attic, brings down a ketzos, and wipes it off. It's all dusty. And he says to Rav Gifter, he says, chances are, he says, this is the last copy. He says, there's only a handful in the United States, and in all probability, it will never be reprinted again. This is the end of Torah learning. It's the end of World War II, okay, after World War II. Rav Elia Meir doesn't respond, and as they leave the store, he turns to Rav Gifter and tells him that the storekeeper's right, and I'm going to read to you. This was an account that I saw in an article that I read. He says that in accordance with the normal laws and social forces of history, there is no chance that Torah will be rebuilt in America or anywhere else, and that this dusty old Ketzos HaChoshen in his hand will never be published again, according to Teva. But he says Torah doesn't subscribe to the conventions of normal probability. The Torah, he says, comes from somewhere else. It is lemala min hateva. So when that storekeeper climbed down from that ladder and handed over that dusty old copy of the chatzos, he said, the chatzos of Elia Meir, the last chatzos to be sold in America, who would have imagined in their wildest dreams that the chatzos, that the words of the chatzos, which is a classic commentary on Gemara, which is used all over the world, would be used and reprinted over and over and over again. Who would have thought that the last ketzos to be sold in America would be published again and again, and its words would reverberate throughout the halls of the Batei Medrash? This is the tzchok of Avraham Avinu. How does this relate to Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, we are Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are acknowledging that God created the world, that Hashem has control over the world, and this is heightened on Rosh Hashanah. Yitzchak, who epitomizes Gevura, was conceived on Rosh Hashanah. Gevura represents Yiras HaRomamus. Yira represents the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yachol. This is Yitzchak. Having said that, it still seems odd that Yitzchak is associated with laughter. Of all of the Avos, he was the most internal, right? He was an Ola Tamima. He didn't leave Eretz Yisrael. We see Avraham that was very busy with the people around him, and Yaakov was busy with the people. Yitzchak was really very, almost like an isolated figure. So it does seem kind of incongruous that Yitzchak is associated with Tzchok. So Rav Goldfein points out, he asks the question, he says, what kind of personality is typically associated with someone who is a Yorei Shamayim, who's full of Yira? What kind of personality would you say is associated with it? Would you say somebody who's very serious, a lack of interaction, depressed, full of anxiety perhaps? Is that a Yorei Shamayim? Maybe we may think of intuitively, yeah, he's a Yorei Shamayim, he's so serious, he's so anxious, he's worried, sad, depressed person, he says. He says it's the exact opposite. A true Yorei Shamayim is full of joy, because when someone is anxious, it means that he fears things other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He fears the physical world. He fears the variables around him. The more we have fears, the more we have worry and anxiety, the less really emunah that we have, right? It's the less realization we have of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yira means that we realize there is nothing as great and powerful as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that brings true tzchok. That brings simcha. That's being mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says when man is restricted, he feels a tsa'ar. When man is restricted, he feels like he doesn't know what to do. When a tsa'ar is like min hametzar karasika, I feel constricted. I don't know what to do. I'm nervous. Why? Because he doesn't realize that there's a God out there. He's lacking a little bit in emunah, right? That's our avoda all the time. It's a lifetime of work, right? To reduce the anxiety, to realize, okay, hakol yachol, if Hashem wants it to be like this, it'll be like this, etc. But he says when man is free of his limitations, then that brings utter simcha. When he feels a sense of freedom. What do we say in benching? We say, Elokeinu, Avinu, Re'enu, Zineinu, Parnaseinu, V'chakaleinu, V'har V'cheinu. Open us up wide. V'har V'chlanu Hashem Elokeinu. Mikol Tsaraseinu. Let us feel a breath. Let us feel not restricted and take away all of our tsaros. When we have no tsa'ar, we feel a sense of freedom. And that brings true simcha. And in the Sefer HaParshios, he basically echoes, Rav Eliyahu Kitov echoes this sentiment. In the Sefer HaParshios, which is the back of your, at this point I have two versions of the sheets. I think it's on the first page of your sheets. He says, where the arrow is, he says, Lakach lo haya nikar al panav ela chedva v'simcha. This is referring to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, you think that he's Pachad Yitzchak, right? That he's full of Yira. But says, Rav Eliyahu Kitov, it's possible, V'lo yanikar al panav ela chedva v'simcha bilvad, V'lo ka'as biyamav, or V'lo ka'as biyamav. He'd never get angry in his life. U'v'emes, and here's the clincher. This is what we have been saying. V'ein, v'emes ein mi sheyismach ba'olam. Somebody who is really a happy person, the ultimate of happiness is Misha hu yarei Hashem la'amito. Somebody who is really a yarei shamayim, he is the person that is really full of simcha. Ve'ein lo shum pachad acher. Magam imhu ben chorin mi'etzahara ki Yitzchak shenigmal mi'etzahara bo'do tinok. So he's saying that Yitzchak Avinu, he is represented, his name is Yitzchak, even though he was a yarei shamayim, because a true yira means that you are content, that you feel a sense of peace with the fact that you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. And isn't this, think about what the shofar is. What do we say, as we said, what do we say before saying the shofar, before blowing the shofar? Min hametzar karasika anani b'merchavka. From the constraints of my challenges, from the constraints of not knowing what to do, I feel constricted. I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'merchavka, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer me, and I should feel the world open up before me. I don't want to feel that tightness, that restriction. What should I do? We all know, and we feel anxiety. We feel like literally we are trapped. There's so much that goes on in our lives, and that's what we cry out before the shofar. What does Rav Pinkus explains? What is the shofar? The shofar is very small at its mouth, right? We put it to the mouth and we blow. It's tiny. Min hametzar. We are constricted. What are we asking for? Min hametzar karasika. When we blow out that shofar, we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We are asking for the shofar gadol of Mashiach, because that's when every answer, every question will be answered. But b'merchav ka is that opening of the shofar where the sound comes out. That's what we are mispalo. That's one of the symbolisms of the shofar. That from the constraints I call out, and I want to feel a sense of freedom from my challenges, from how to deal with my challenges. It doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Kol Yachol doesn't mean that we're going to have nisim gluyim come before our eyes. And says Rav Moshe, it doesn't mean that it takes away from our responsibility to do hishtadlos. We can't just sit back and say, well, if Hashem wants me to be sick, I'll be sick. If Hashem wants me to do this, if Hashem wants me to have a job, that's very, very, that's very simplistic. It's working on both levels, right? Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yameitz libecha, v'kaveh el Hashem. We are kaveh el Hashem, we hope to Hashem, we know it all comes from Him, then we do our hishtadlos, and then we are again kaveh el Hashem, right? So this is what Rav Moshe says is the difference between the laughter of Sarah Imein and the laughter of Avraham Avinu. So true Yirah Shamayim brings joy. And then, so let's just quickly summarize what we have just did. What tzechok means, a shattering of expectations. It's realization that there's an oddity or rejection of something that's typical or that we're used to. Tzechok can be used as a mocking or a lack of emunah somewhat. Sarah had a rejection of the notion, right, where Avraham Avinu had a rejection of Teva, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reject Teva at any moment. Sarah Imenu's laughter on some microscopic level, as you just pointed out, at some microscopic level, she had a rejection of the possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a kol yachol. But let's understand this a little bit more. We still have the question is, how could she deny that she was laughing? The Torah says that she denied it. She denied it. How in the world is that possible? So, look, the Or Gedalia explains. She denied laughing, the laugh of disbelief. It says, ki yirei'ah, ki yirei'ah. She was afraid to admit it. Or, says the Or Gedalia, she was full of yirah shamayim, and she herself did not even know what that laughter was about. Who says that laughter was audible, by the way? Who says that laughter was audible? Shvatitzchak bekir ba, right? Bekir ba, inside, where Rashi says it may mean talking about her reproductive organs, how could it be possible? But she was laughing inside. She herself didn't even realize that she was laughing. And look what the Or Gedalia says. V'lachein amra sara ha'emes kishe amra lo tzachakti. She said the truth. I didn't. On a conscious level, I didn't laugh. I don't have a lack of bitachon. Ki lo hirgisha ze hatzchok. Umashe kasuv ki rea perisho ki hatorah kasva ta'am lama lo hirgisha hatzchok. The Torah is telling us, why did she deny it? Because she herself did not even know it, because she is a Yorei Shamayim. She is a Yorei Shamayim. She wasn't even aware of it. It took HaKadosh Baruch Hu to explain to Avraham Avinu, there is something going on, there's something motivating her. We all do things that we have absolutely no idea what motivates us. We don't know something presses our buttons, we hear something, we get annoyed. We have no idea what's going on subconsciously. Who knows why we're reacting in certain things and why there are certain bad topics or buttons that are pressed. Here, Sarah Imenu had HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell her. You didn't even know why you were laughing. You didn't. I detected a shemitz, a microscopic shemitz, for maybe a nanosecond. Maybe a nanosecond on her part. And how does this relate to Rosh Hashanah? Well, what do we say on in the davening of Rosh Hashanah? Lekel orach din, lebochein, levavos biyom din. It's on your source sheets on the top of the second page. These are things that we say on Rosh Hashanah, that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is V'chol ma'aminim shehu keil emunah habodek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks in the ginzei nistaros, inside our kishkas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what makes us tick. And this is what Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu. So tzchok is not inherently bad. Avraham used it for joy. Yitzchak is born, and after he is born, Avraham makes this mishteh gadol after he is weaned. And then Rashi tells us that he invited the chashuvim to come and join in this mishteh. Why? Because he wanted to publicize the nes. This is being mamlich Hashem, or shofros, the giloy shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Avraham Avinu wanted to invite everybody to see the nisim that happened to the mothers that were able to nurse, etc. People were healed. Everybody came to this party. But right after, and this is, we can also speak about the Bris Milah. We have the idea of Teshuvah, which we don't have time for. Maltem es arlas levavchem. We can do like a 5-part series on this whole thing relating to Rosh Hashanah. You can expand on that on your own. But afterwards, we know that Yishmael is mitzachek. Sarah sees him being mitzachek, something that was completely anti what she wanted for her son Yitzchak, who would be the progenitor of Am Yisrael. What's going on here? We can ask the question, is Sarah one to talk? Sarah was called to task for her laughter inside of her. Vatitzchak Sarah bikirba, and now she sees that Yishmael is mitzachek. What is all this laughter? Sarah Imenu is looking at Yishmael as mitzachek. It seems kind of incongruous. Is she one to talk? So first of all, what's the difference? Again, we ask the question of why is there such a close association between Yishmael and Yitzchak, right? They were half brothers. Yitzchak is Yitzchak. Yishmael is described as mitzachek. What is the difference between them? What is the difference between Yishmael and Yitzchak? Mitzachek is, I saw this years ago in an article that my uncle, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, wrote years ago. Mitzachek is the present tense. Mitzachek is present, which represents, that's Yishmael, we represents a need for immediate gratification. He's mitzachek. He has to have everything now. I must have it now. Sounds very similar to Esav, right? Halitaini, halitaini, adom, adom. I have to have it now. There's no looking towards the future, whereas Yitzchak, the Yud, means he will laugh, meaning his name represents future tense, that I can withhold my taivos. I can look towards a future. I know that there is a future of Olam Haba. Mitzachek, says Rashi, he was involved in the three cardinal sins, Gilai, Rai, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah. What's that all about? Did it happen in front of Avram Avinu's, in Avram Avinu's house? Could it have been possible that he was over on all of these things? What's going on here? The Maral goes further to explain that tzchok is also can be used as a distortion, right? Not just a rejection, but something distorted. Right, when you see something distorted, it doesn't make sense, so we laugh. Yishmael distorted and twisted Avraham Avinu's ideals. He twisted, he has a twisted view. And to all outward appearances, says Rav Shalom Shvadron, he might not have been doing this outwardly. He might have been just like the rest of Avraham Avinu's household. But Sarah sees something that smacks of a bad attitude. Perhaps it was wasting time, says Revolba. Perhaps it was just a slight shemitz of something that just didn't sit well with her. Especially now, says the Or Gedalia, that Yitzchak was now out of, the point is that the Torah says that Yitzchak was weaned, which means that Yitzchak was now out of her house. She wasn't nursing him anymore and would be around Yishmael. So there was something that didn't sit well with Sarah Imenu. Something small, a small attitude we know can turn into something huge. A small leak, which I just had this past week, a little tiny leak, which I didn't even realize was a leak. I was like, oh, maybe the floor is wet from something. I kept wiping it up. All of a sudden, Erev Shabbos, whoosh, cascade under my sink. Right? A tiny, tiny something can lead into something greater. The question is, why was Sarah Imenu able to see what Avraham Avinu did not see? We guess we can ask the same question with Rivka and Yitzchak, right? Masa avasim labanim. Why did Sarah Imenu see what Avraham Avinu did not see? So we can answer, the classical answer is because she had Bina Yisera, and the classical answer is a good one. She had a deeper perception, right? She was the Eim HaBayis. We know that there takes two parents to run a home. It takes different perspectives, and each person has different strengths. Sarah saw shemetz of something that Avraham Avinu did not see. Clearly, he was his son, and he was a little bit nogeya bedavar. But there's something else that's a little bit deeper that the Or Gedalia explains. And there's another fundamental reason that she was able to see it, and it really is an incredible mussar and a timely mussar during this time of Elul. Sarah insisted, Garesh es ha'ama hazos, because he was mitzachek. The same tzchok that was used for Sarah. What happened, says the Or Gedalia, is that she took the mussar to heart. She was called out on the fact that there was something lacking in her when she had this laughter inside of her. And the Or Gedalia quotes the Sfas Emes, as a matter of fact, at the second of the bottom paragraph, Sfas Emes itaki sara asta tshuva miyira v'tikna hachet. She did a complete teshuva. We don't think of Sarah Imenu as somebody associated with teshuva, but the Sfas Emes that was quoted by the Or Gedalia, she did teshuva. So her chait was like wiped clean. How was she metaken this chait? Sarah is really a lesser known lesson of teshuvah. She herself did not even realize that she had something lacking. Remember we said that? She herself, Bikirba, she didn't even realize it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed it out. But now she had time to reflect it, to refine this tzachok, to refine something that was lacking in her, this imperfection. And now as Yitzchak is weaned, outwardly nothing may have been obvious to anybody else, but she saw something. She smelled it. Why? Because she went through it herself. She went through it herself. She herself worked on this. And she realized, you know, chas lo aleinu, if you have a drug addict, there are signs, right? And a recovering drug addict. They will know what the signs of somebody who's lo aleinu, a drug addict, is. Somebody who went through challenges. They realize, I went through it. I know what it is. I know what that's about. And listen to the words of the Sfas Emes. I'm sorry, listen to the words of the Or Gedalia in the middle of that, in the middle of that section. Umitzan midas hayira shalo hir gisha bikirba sheyesh inyan shel tzchok aval, aval be'es. Asher ra'asa yishma el mitzachek, says the Or Gedalia. When she saw something of a tzchok in Yishmael, hivchina sara asher zeh hatzchok eina tov. She knew that this tzchok was not good. Why? Because she herself had the same, a tiny bit, a microscopic piece of that. Kisara asher midasa hayisa yira hivchina b'hatzchok asher sharasho eino mimidas hayira ubazeh tikna esachet hazeh shahaya bikirba hargashas hatzchok. It is an unbelievable chiddush that Sarah was able to detect it because she herself went through it. It's an unbelievable chiddush in her ability to be metaking something. We know that when people go through lo aleinu challenges or illnesses or went through all kinds of nisyonos in their life, or they go through things, it can work the way that Sarah works. I know those signs. I know it when I see it, right? And we know that we are on guard, and it also works for the positive. That somebody who's gone through something, they can identify. They are the ones that are the cheerleaders. They start organizations. They start support groups because they've been there. They've done that. Sarah Imenu has been there, has done that, says the Or Gedalia. And through this ability to see through Yishmael, that on all outward appearances may not have seemed anything, nothing amiss seemed to, so what was obvious, Sarah Imenu smelled it because she herself went through it. It's an unbelievable chiddush and an unbelievable association to Sarah Imenu and the recalibration and being true to ourselves. The fact that she took the muster, the fact that maybe it was a nanosecond, but she internalized it. She learned from it, and she was able to impact her household because of that. Yeah. Oh, great.
It's a much more intense.
Yeah. Impacting everybody else.
That's
and more, wow, that's great.
Even though
cup, passive.
That was cup, just a slower.
That's amazing.
But
that's amazing.
It
appeal
more.
Impacted everybody. Amazing. Okay.
Oh
yeah, she said that mitzachek and he tzachaka, sarah tzachaka. Tzachaka is a kal. It's the, I'm not the diktuk, even though I'm an Orlean name. I'm not a diktuk person. It's in lashon kal, which means it doesn't impact everybody. It's to yourself. You did something. When you PL means that you impact somebody else. What's an example? See, this is, I am not a diktuk maven here. But yeah, PL means that you are impacting someone else. That's the grammatical construct. And more intense, yeah, okay. Phenomenal, that's a really... So what she's saying is that's the difference, that Sarah, it was, she laughed, but it didn't impact anybody else. But Yishmael is mitzachek, he is impacting everybody else. It's really terrific, it's really great. Okay, So now, let's move on, because Avram Avinu, any other questions before we go? Yes.
Sarah left, but she left in reaction to something. With Yishmael, he's doing something actively.
That's true. Okay, so it's just totally it's consistent. Yeah, but it's just the Torah is using the Lashon Tzchok. That's what the Argadali is pointing out. The Torah is, he could have used anything else, but he's using the Lashon Tzchok, and that alerts us. It's our antenna have to be up. Why? Why specifically that Lashon, says the Argadalia? And I think it's just an unbelievable Musar. That whenever we go through, we are in tune to other people who may go through those same things. But now, Avram is confronted with a directive from Sarah Imenu. The directive is, of course, get this boy out of my house. Geresh. Get rid of him. Geresh is ha'am hazos ve'es b'na. Ki lo yiresh ben hazos im b'ni im Yitzchak. Get him out of the house. Yishmael's attitude raised the antenna of Sarah, and she was insistent. There is no ambiguity. There is no subtlety here. What do you think? Do you think that we should consider something? This was not Sarah Imenu. Sarah Imenu was very, very direct. And consider, this is not the first time that she has kicked Hagar out of the house, right? This is the time number two, the first time she ended up returning. Now she is insisting, get rid of him. This was a tremendously difficult for Avram Avinu. So much so, Vayera Hadavar Ba'od Be'enei Avraham Alados Pano. This pained him so much that Hashem had to come to Avraham directly and tell him, Kol Asher Tomari Lecha Sara Shema Bikola. Are we going to, do we take that trump card out every time we want our husbands to listen to us, right? Hashem had to tell Avraham Avinu, you have to listen to her voice. Hashem had to tell him specifically, she has a deeper understanding than you. This was excruciatingly painful for Avraham Avinu. And lest we look at this as an example, we should look at it as an example, that we have to be very careful about what we bring into our home and who's in our home and everything like that, that one child can impact the rest of the family, chas v'shalom, if there's something going on, or a friend, etc. Lest we use this as a blatant example, let's focus on when Avraham Avinu had actually banished Hagar and Yishmael. What did it take for Avraham Avinu to banish banish Yitzchak and Hagar? What did it take? Hashem had to tell him. So if we look at it and say, oh, well, look, he banished Hagar and Yishmael, it had to be. I think it's the exact opposite, because it was difficult for him. And how was he able to do it? Only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the directive. It wasn't so simple. It's not so simple when Lo Aleinu we have to think about expelling a child, or Chas V'Shalom, kicking a wayward son out of the house, or kicking a child out of class. It's not so simple. Yes, it's true. They impact, they this, the influence. But this is telling us Pum Farkert. Telling us the opposite. Avraham Avinu needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell him. We shouldn't take anything like this so lightly. Obviously, the other lesson is that we have to realize that there are influences. But we have to go deeper than that. It's not so black and white. It's not so surface. We have to look a little deeper. Says the Michtav Me'ilahu, he brings down the Yalkut Shimoni, that this was the most difficult Nisayon for Avraham Avinu. It's on your source sheets. This was the most difficult Nisayon for Avraham Avinu. Recall that Avraham Avinu, who was known for his chesed, was known for taking everybody into his house, Ovdei Avodah Zara, everybody, the worst of society, into his home, had to kick out his own flesh and blood. We know that there was a love between Avraham and Yishmael. Chazal tell us that afterwards, after he was banished, he would go, the Midrash paints a picture of Avraham visiting, trying to visit Yishmael. We know that he took back, according to Chazal, he took back Hagar and married her, who had done teshuvah. What's another proof that we know that Avraham loved Yishmael? What's another proof in the Akedah? Anybody know? How do we know that Avraham loved Yishmael? Remember when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham at the Akedah, Kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher hafta es Yitzchak. What does Rashi say there? I believe it's bringing down the Medrash. Kachna es bincha. And what does Avram Avinu say? Which son? I have two sons. Es yichidcha. I have two only sons. One from Hagar, one from Sarah Imenu. Asher ahavta. Which son? I love both of my sons. Es Yitzchak. Take Yitzchak. We cannot take this lightly. This was a tremendous, tremendous nisayon for Avram Avinu to kick out his flesh and blood. But yet, Vayash came Avraham Baboker. Avraham gets up early in the morning and does what he's supposed to do. With this in mind, this only increases the greatness of Avi Akedas Yitzchak. Because at Akedas Yitzchak, he had already been compelled to separate from one son, Yishmael. Now at the Akedah, he is asked to sacrifice yet another son, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. The Akedah is not only about, says Rav Schwab, not only about an Akedas Haguf, a tying up, a restriction of Yitzchak's body, but says Rav Schwab, there's another aspect to this Akedah. The other aspect to the Akedah is Akedas Hada'as. It's the restriction of our Seichel, of our understanding. He didn't understand, it didn't make sense to him. And that's the Akedah, that's the strength that we get from Avram Avinu. But when did this start? It started with all of his tests, and we're talking specifically here about the banishment of Hagar and Yishmael, his flesh and blood. He had to kick out despite the fact that he has everybody else in his home. We know that we blow the shofar of the ayil on Rosh Hashanah to recall, right? To recall the zechus of Avram Avinu that should bring us in good stead as we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in judgment. So Rav Reisman asks a question. He says, it gave people the strength to make a choice. Should I die al Kiddush Hashem or not? We have, fortunately, throughout history, people have been confronted with these choices, and they have heroically died al Kiddush Hashem. But Rav Reisman asks a very, very interesting and fundamental question. He says, what about, how does this, when we say that Klal Yisrael have gone through challenges and nisyonos and the Holocaust and lo aleinu people being ill and children being ill, you can all fill in the blanks. We've all been around the block. How do we say that that's a nisayon? He says, are we given a choice? Was the Holocaust a choice? Was not a choice. Was it a choice of babies being pulled out of their mother's arms? Is it a choice to, lo aleinu, watch somebody be sick and ill? What's the choice there? He says that what that is, how do we get that strength from Avram Avinu? Because it's not just Akedas Haguf, it's also Akedas Hada'as. That's the Nisayon, he says. When we have an Akedas Hadas, when we are able to constrict our Das as human beings, we are defined by our Seichel, our ability to reason. And when things don't add up, we are constricted. And yet we continue, and we follow, and we plod along. That is the Nisayon, says Rav Reisman. It's the Akedas Hadas. And we see it very clearly with Avraham Avinu banishing Hagar. On Rosh Hashanah, we read of the story of Yishmael. It's another connection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the cries of Yishmael, right? The importance of tefillah ba'asher hu sham, right? As we sit in judgment, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to judge us. Ba'asher anachnu sham, right? If we're good at that particular moment, judge us accordingly. But we know that the Medrash brings down that the Malachim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, how could you save Yishmael? What's going on here? The future children are going to attack Klal Yisrael. Why are you leaving them alive? Why are you judging? And Hashem said, Basher Husham. It's so difficult to wrap our heads around, especially when you think about the Ben Sower Amora that we learned about, that we read about this Shabbos. He is judged, what? Al-Shem Sofo. And here we have Yishmael, whose future descendants are going to be wielding knives and terrorists and Sabaro bombings, and yet he is saved. I had this question. I don't really have an answer other than it is Arkadas Hadas. We don't know why he was saved. There are, I'm sure, all kinds of reasons. But do you think that victims of terrorist bombings can really understand that Yishmael could have died right there? He was dying of thirst. All of this terrorist activity and all the knife-wielding Arabs in the old city and whatever else has happened. There'll be other enemies. There's other enemies. We're not lacking in enemies. But why? This is really an Akedas Hada'as. And it begins with this story of Avraham Avinu having to kick him out, and with the Akedah, of course. Because Avraham Avinu realized he is Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He realized, like Zichronos, that he was chosen for a particular tafkid, he and Sarah. Hashem Pakad es Sarah. He realizes that Simcha and Yira is really doing the Ritzon Hashem. And Rav Meisman further points out, and I think that this speaks to what we're speaking about as well. When we look at the Akedah, which was really a progression, it's what happens right after the Yishmael story, after Avimelech, actually. It's another whole discussion about really the global nature of Rosh Hashanah, right? It's about the whole world. So we see interaction with Avimelech, and we see Yishmael. But Rabbi Reisman points out something. He says, why specifically, he points this out, continuing from Rabbi Schwab, why is it that specifically the horn of the aisle is used on Rosh Hashanah, right? And the other one is used, the shofar gadol is referring to the other horn of the aisle, to the time of Mashiach. But why the horn? Why not the skin or the feet or the bones or something else? Seemingly a horn really doesn't accomplish anything. But he points out that when Avraham Avinu saw the horn, saw the aisle, its horns were ne'echaz besvach. His horn was stuck in the brambles, in the bushes. He was stuck. He was restrained. And therefore, what we learn from here is that that aisle was stuck at that particular moment, for in that particular place, it was specifically there for Avraham Avinu. And he points out, he says, during this, we know that during Sheshes Mei Bereshis, this was one of the things that was created. The aisle was created, right? Specifically for that purpose. So he says, think about it. The aisle was roaming around for generations and generations, and suddenly he probably didn't get stuck all that much, and suddenly he's stuck. He's stuck by his horns, not by his feet, not by his skin, but by his horn. Certain place, at a certain time, the lesson is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to be in a particular time, in a particular situation, that's where we are supposed to be. And on Rosh Hashanah, we remind ourselves that whatever befalls a person, good or bad, that is what Hashem wants it to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides the din on Rosh Hashanah. We are all ne'echaz b'svach at some times in our lives. Every day is another challenge. Our child doesn't get into playgroup. Our child doesn't get into seminary, into the high school. The shidduch doesn't work out. They said no. They said yes. The hall doesn't work out. We are all, and some greater challenges, we can all fill in the blanks. We are all ne'echaz b'svach. You know what modern Hebrew for complicated means is? Mesubach. Right? Mesubach. It's complicated. Things are complicated, but we think about the aisle of the ram from the Akedah, says Rev Reisman, and we realize that we are all ne'echaz b'svach, but we are where we need to be at a particular time because HaKadosh Baruch Hu deemed it that way. It's Akedas Hadas. V'Hashem pakad es Sarah, we read. Hashem attended to Sarah. This is the notion of Hashgacha Pratis. But Pakad also has the notion of a tafkid, a particular, we are like Eile Pekudei, right? But Bnei Yisrael are counted, Lefekudo Sav. We are counted, why? Because we have a tafkid. Hashem Pakad es Sarah. Hashem determined that Klal Yisrael's beginnings needed to be a result of tefillah and a result of something lemala min hateva, kol yezaracha, tzchok, that we laugh and reject teva. We reject the notion that things go according to teva, because if we would not reject it, how would we be here today with all of the enemies trying to destroy us? We, our existence here today is a tzchok. Hashem pakad, Hashem attended to Sarah as a result of her tefillah, and she understood her tafkid. We are obviously not Sarah Imenus. We are not shown our tafkid, but we certainly have guideposts along the way, and we have to ask the question, what is my tafkid? Have I fulfilled my tafkid as a wife, as a mother, as a neighbor, as a classmate, as a member of Klal Yisrael? What do we say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? We say, Masa Ish Ufakudaso. A person's action, I'm not sure if it's Shacharis or Musaf, I'm sorry, if anybody knows, let me know. Every single person's actions and activities, they are accounted for. Ufakuda so. And Rosh Raga Feivel Mendelovich points out that a person is judged on pekuda so, on his tafkid, on my purpose. It's an individual. Vashem pakara Sarah, Kadosh Baruch Hu attended to Sarah, this individual Sarah, but obviously it had unbelievable ramifications for years to come on all of Klal Yisrael. Kivakaras roa edra tacha shifto. We are judged according to each individual strength. We are judged as individuals, but every action that we do has unbelievable ramifications in the world at large. Yishmael and Yitzchak were both identified by Tzachok. Yishmael laughed and scoffed at the world. Sarah Imenu perfected this tzchok that she herself didn't even realize. Bochein Klo Yosleva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed it out to her. She used this tzchok to ensure that the negative type of tzchok does not impact her home. Yitzchak is represented by laughter because he made light of the physical world. He realized, and Avram Avinu and the Avos spread the notion that real tzchok, that real yira is realizing, Ein Od Bilvado. It is the idea of Gilu Bira'ada. We are happy, we are full of joy at the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world as we sit in judgment. The tzchok that came about as a result of Yitzhak brought into the world the realization that Hashem created the world. Malchios, Zichronos, Hashem attended to Sarah and to Avram Avinu and brought about miracles, the beginning of Am Yisrael that defy nature, and Shofros is the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we see through the development of Am Yisrael. Tzchok is the realization that Hayipalei Me Hashem Davar. Emir to Hashem, every situation that we find ourselves in, Ne'echaz B'Svach, we should be able to extricate ourselves from it. Min HaMeitzar Karasika. And Emir to Hashem, we should be able to blow that shofar gadol in the time of Mashiach when we will be able to say, Az Yimale Sechok Pino. The last laugh will be on everybody else, and we will have the ultimate and everlasting laughter. Siva Chasiva Tov, everybody.